Primary elections are a week away, and with the retirement of Representative John Dingell, the 12th congressional district is an open seat. There's a contested primary for the heavily Democratic district. Running are the congressman's wife, Debbie Dingell, who I spoke with yesterday, and Ypsilanti attorney Raymond G. Mullins. Mullins and I began talking about the issues he's most concerned with.
People are not addressing the issue of African-American education, not to mention other poor children regardless of race. There are Appalachian whites in the 12 congressional districts. As a matter of fact, only 10% of the only 12% of the population of the 12 congressional district are African Americans. But poor people, lower middle class people, regardless of race, are not having the same access to education as are people who are more affluent. And plus, providing leadership. I mean, a United States representative is a leader. Only 435 people, and they have an influence not only on the national government, but also on the state and the people that they are representing.
I want to ask you about some of the topics we've been touching on. Support for higher education and for K-12 education is key for Michigan to be economically competitive.
Pre-K-12.
Right, exactly. Or as the Governor Snyder says, P-20.
Yeah.
So what should the federal government be doing to make sure our kids and the workforce are getting what they need?
Well, there's certainly a team between state and federal, and primarily the states are the body that is primarily concerned with education. But as we have seen within the United States, the states have lagged behind, and there's a great disparity between the poor and the rich. And with charter schools that have come on and gutted the public school system, I'm an advocate of the public schools. My mom was a public school teacher. And the quality of education in Michigan has, in fact, gone down. There are some things that are happening with the federal government. The GI Bill is something I went through law school with. And prior to that time, other people attained higher degrees, you know, in the four-year colleges with various grants and Pell Grants, whatever. Those things have dried up. Plus, the rate of going to college has skyrocketed, to the point where people who graduate from college are taking, 30 to 40 years to pay off their loans. That's totally ridiculous, considering the fact that a person who graduates from college is going to be able to make a greater contribution, not only regarding talent, but also economically to our society.
Conflicting federal court rulings recently on Obamacare health insurance exchanges might be headed to the Supreme Court. It's likely Congress will eventually have to patch it if it's not completely scrapped by the new Congress. What's the best solution in your mind?
Well, I think it would be a tragedy if they scrap the program because many more people are covered by the Affordable Care Act at a lower rate. And it's just better for the general population. To scrap it would be totally ridiculous. Some people are opposed to Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid. But, I mean, these are citizens. These are people of the United States. These are people. A lot of people have worked hard in industry, and they need care. Now, I would think, and we knew going into the Affordable Care Act, that there was going to be some tweaking needed. And something that huge and large and concerned a lot of people, we knew that there were going to be things that needed to be fixed. But the overall object of it and the goal was to provide better health care for many more Americans that could not afford it beforehand.
The biggest issue in Michigan, of course, is more and better jobs. What do you think Congress should be doing to make sure that Michigan gets a better opportunity to make those things happen, more and better jobs?
Well, one of the things that – and I'm going after my opponent – is that she used to be on the board of General Motors. And she was on the board of General Motors when they closed those plants in Flint and sent those jobs to Mexico. There were at least 30,000, and their estimates now that 90,000 workers at the General Motors plants lost their jobs. And you saw the movie Roger and Me, and it showed how Flint, among others, but Flint primarily was devastated by General Motors closing those plants and sending them to Mexico. We have to look after our own people first. There's a lot of jobs being transported overseas. As a matter of fact, this bridge that they talk about building between Detroit and Windsor I'm lobbying that if they do build a bridge, that we use American steel, that we use American workers. And I think the Oakland Bay Bridge in California was repaired primarily with Japanese steel or Asian steel, and that's not right. If money is earned here, it's going to be spent here, and we're going to be a much stronger society because of it.
I want to talk about the race itself for just a second. I was looking at the Federal Election Commission reports. It indicates last quarter you raised just under $5,000. Your mm-hmm. opponent at the same time raised $405,000. What does that tell you about the race?
It tells me she's got a lot more money than I have. But in Eric Cantor's case down in Virginia, he outspent his opposition 23-1. And
we're talking about 81-1 here, though.
Well, that's still a lot of money. And the fact that is, I think that she probably has upward toward $1 million because after she announced, they announced on this station and other stations that she raised $500,000. And the average amount of money to run a congressional race, even against a viable opponent, is only like $230,000.
So what do you think of your chances on August 5th?
Well, the thing about it is that when I ran, and I apologize for diverting, is that on the 28th of March, circulated my petitions primarily in Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor and was able to get the quota within less than the 4 weeks. My speech was, I'm running against Debbie Dingell. People couldn't wait to sign my petition. There is some opposition in this congressional district to her just assuming the position because of her last name, her married last name. And we'll see what happens on Election Day, whether or not that will turn into something realistic that could support and help me.
That's Raymond G. Mullins. He's running for the Democratic nomination in the 12th Congressional District. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
And as I mentioned, I spoke with Debbie Dingell, who is also running in the Democratic primary. You can find that interview at michiganradio.org.